The voice of Husker Nation is on the air. This is Hail Varsity Radio. Insight, opinion, expertise, along with the biggest names talking Nebraska sports. Join in with the show at 402-489-1240 or 1-800-825-5865. Now, here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and Elijah Herbel.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're presented by Currency for all your equipment financing needs. Go Currency. We'll switch to the round ball here for a little bit. Get back into some football topics and thoughts. Husker baseball v. Creighton tonight as well. And Husker women in action Thursday with the WNIT. We welcome in Andy Markowski, Husker standout, the pride of Orne, at Markowski underscore Andy on Twitter's where you find him. Andy, NCAA tournament's been wild. It's been upset filled. Let's start there, bud. And you and I both, it's all right to get the lighter out and just go to town on our bracket. We did that early and often with Arizona.
You did that Friday with Princeton, yeah?
We did.
We were literally inside Longwell's, and Schmitty pulls out the lighter and burns his bracket. It was incredible.
It was in the smoke-free but bracket destruction zone, Andy, so I was within fire code, of course. But on a serious note, man, how do you absorb the tournament? What have you loved so far?
Yeah, I mean, you never know, right? I mean, that's what makes the NCAA basketball men's tournament so much fun to follow, as much as, you know, the prognostication people in the world think they know. It's just hard to predict. I mean, it's you know, it really comes down to make or miss in a lot of situations. You know, teams that don't shoot it well, you know, go home. Teams that make a buzzer beater, you know, live to fight another day, and then that changes you know, brackets, because matchups, you know, I think drive a lot of the upsets, or just how teams stylistically, you know, fit or don't fit against each other. So, you know, been a lot of fun to watch. And, you know, really the 16 teams that are left, I still think it's fairly wide open. You know, I think Alabama, you know, being in the East, playing in Louisville, would probably be maybe a slight favorite on paper to my eye, but it wouldn't surprise me to see any number of teams make it to the Final Four.
What about Creighton? Would you be surprised if Creighton was in the Final Four? Well, what have you liked so far about the run from the Jays, and what do they still face?
Well, you know, I think people like their matchup, right? I mean, Baylor had really struggled all year defensively. You know, I think they lost four of their last six before they got in the tournament, so certainly weren't playing their best basketball. You know, obviously Baylor is still a good team, and Creighton played a really sound game, you know, shot it well from the three. I think set an NCAA record, you know, by going 22 of 22 from the free throw line. So certainly played one of their best games. And, you know, then they, you know, caught somewhat of a break, right? I mean, you know, not that Princeton is a bad team. You know, I think they're good. They've got a couple matchup pieces that have been hard to defend in the tournament. They've shot it well. They're playing with a lot of confidence, but you know, you're playing a 15 seed to have a chance to get to the Elite Eight. So I think Creighton has to like that draw. And, you know, I think it potentially gets tougher for them against the Alabama team. But, you know, Miller, their best player, is hurt, playing at 70%. So, you know, things are certainly lining up for Creighton to have a chance to, you know, not only get to the Elite Eight, but maybe have a chance to take down a really good team in Alabama.
Andy, a thought with the Big Ten and Purdue's debacle, and also the conference's hopes riding on Michigan State v. K-State. I know where my family's leaning, and I know where I'm leaning, so we're divided there. I'm pulling for the Wildcats. Mama and Junior are going for Sparty. But just you get eight bids, and you got one of the Sweet 16, man.
Yeah, I don't, you know, I don't sign up to, you know, that this is a bad performance, or historically the Big Ten, you know, doesn't do well in the tournament. I really think, you know, it's seeded for a reason, and the Big Ten historically has a lot of solid to good teams, and that's what the league has been. I mean, you look at how leagues have done for their seeding. That, you know, the Big 12 has underperformed. I mean, the Big East, you know, has, you know, three teams in, but one's a two, one's a three. They're supposed to be in the Sweet 16. I mean, outside of Creighton as a six seed is the only Big East team that outperformed their seed line. So, you know, you certainly the Purdue loss, you know, reflects poorly, and you know, you can, you know, dice that up a lot of different ways. Purdue was picked to finish sixth in the preseason, right? So they had a historically really good conference season to win the league, and, you know, maybe they weren't quite on paper as good as what they needed to be. So I think the Big Ten is fine. Michigan State, I thought, was the one team, you know, I think it was on last week with you guys. I thought they were the only team to my eye that could outplay their seed line, you know, as a seven that's in the Sweet 16. So, you know, there's been, you know, I did the math, since 2000, there's been 17 Big Ten teams to make a Final Four. There's been 21 ACC teams. So I don't, you know, we just haven't had the one really good team to take home a national title, and there's only one of those in six conferences a year that gets to do that. So I just think the Big Ten is a really solid league that has a lot of good teams, that when you get a 7, an 8, a 9, and a 10, and 11, you're not going to get a lot of those teams into the Sweet 16. And, you know, outside of Indiana, as a 4, they, you know, they had a chance to get to their seed line. You know, we only had one team predicted to be there in the end, and that was Purdue, and Michigan State is now carrying that flag. So I don't know. I just get tired of the Big Ten getting beat up, because I don't think it's as bad of a league as maybe what people make it out to be. And, you know, the Big 12 has performed worse, and no one's talking about them. They had five top three seeds, and they only got two into the Sweet 16. So that you know, to me, that league has performed worse than the Big Ten, based on how they should have been projected to do.
Andy, before we flip gears here, talk some women's NIT quickly. I want to get your take on something that's been ruminating in my brain for probably years now. Whenever the Big Ten gets to the tournament, it's known as a very physical league, but then they have to go deal with refs from around the country, and we've bemoaned the refs from the Big Ten enough this year. I don't need to pile on them some more, but do you think there's a factor that Big Ten teams just aren't ready for how the NCAA tournament is going to get officiated?
I mean, once again, by what metric, I guess, you know? I mean, we certainly, you know, Tennessee played a really physical game. So, you know, there is, you know, a chance to be physical and have referees not call fouls. So, you know, you have to adjust a little bit on how the game is getting played. But, you know, just, you know, going, you know, back to historical data, you know, we've had seven teams make a Final Four since, you know, the mid-90s. I mean, there's not a lot of leagues that have had the amount of teams make it to a Final Four. You know, you have North Carolina and Duke and your traditional ACC powers, and obviously Kansas carries the Big 12. So I just don't sign up that, you know, the Big Ten's not – yeah, certainly stylistically, you know, they play with more bigs than – but so does UConn right now. So I think it's an easy way to kind of paint the Big Ten into this picture that, you know, the what the Big Ten should do is get DePaul and a bunch of teams and have four, you know, win 15 league games and get a 2 and a 3 seed versus, you know, having 14 pretty good teams and end up, you know, having a record of 22 and 12, and now you start drawing the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, and you're just not going to be able to play yourself through that seed line as much as a 2 like Marquette or 3 Xavier. You know, it's just an easier draw, and, you know, I just think the league is too deep, it's too good, and they lack maybe the one or two really, really elite teams that maybe can get to a Final Four or win a championship, but I don't think that takes away from the league being a really, really tough league. So I, you know, next year you can have three Big Ten teams in the Final Four. I mean, I just think it's very cyclical, and you know, Purdue, you know, was a one seed, and the rest of the Big Ten really were slotted in that 7 to 10 range. And, you know, how did Penn State play? You'd say they played pretty well, right? Mm-hmm. They beat a hot A&M team. How did Michigan State play? You'd say they played pretty well. You'd say Maryland, you know, there's not one person that picked Maryland to beat West Virginia. So I think the Big Ten did a lot of good things, but the Purdue loss, you know, I think is what everybody wants to talk about. And, you know, certainly that was a poor showing, and, you know, reflects poorly on Purdue, but I don't think it. You should throw the whole conference away because they only got one team into the Sweet 16. They just weren't seeded to have that great of a year.
Eddie Markowski's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Eddie, want to ask you about Rick Pitino and his move to St. John's. Are you surprised? Do you care? What do you think of Rick back in the Big East?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, what have you done for me lately, right? World that we live in, and certainly, Rick can coach basketball. I mean, maybe one of the top, coaches of all time when it comes to winning and rebuilding programs and winning in the conference tournament. And, so all of that, he certainly is probably going to, put St. John's on the map and have a competitive basketball program, with the transfer portal, you probably got quicker than what you could 5, 6, 7, 10 years ago. So I don't emotionally, get too charged up. I mean, certainly, morally, I would probably have an issue with, my son playing there just based on, some of the things he's done. Some of the cheating stuff that, he was accused of. Now it's legal, so we've kind of come full circle on that, on what we could get college athletes. But having him in the Garden, in the Big East, that's certainly for basketball people, that is going to be a fun story to follow. But if you can win, you're going to always have another opportunity. If you can shoot or play, you're going to have an opportunity to go and play. That's just kind of how society is. And Rick is, has got 7, 8, 9 chances, and certainly, I'm sure he'll screw something up at St. John's, but they're hiring him to win basketball games, and the pattern is he'll figure it out in short order.
So, fashion question: do you think he still has the white suit?
Yeah, I mean, I think he only breaks that out for big games. So, I mean, maybe a Creighton. St. John's Big East Championship game, that white suit will come back out.
The white Brioni. That's so funny. Eddie Markowski with us. Eddie, let's talk Thursday night PBA. Nebraska.
No, not PBA. It's going to be at Kansas.
Oh, shoot. Forgive me there. Okay, they played the first time at PBA, triple overtime. A thought on the matchup. I mean, the women are absolutely on fire. Great win over Northern Iowa.
Yeah, they've got two NIT wins. Teams that they're better than, right? I mean, physically playing against the Valley, we should have won those games at home. Kansas is good, right? They're probably a surprise that they didn't get in the tournament. Mm-hmm. I think everybody had them in, except for the selection committee. So a good team, a team that Nebraska had to beat in three overtimes. We had Hybe in that game, and we won't have Sam, and we had Widener for a half in that game. And the second half, she was not available. That was the game she got hurt in. So, our roster has changed. They're very good. Have a two all-conference, first team all Big 12 players and a 6'6" center and a guard. So, we'll have to probably, play some of our best basketball to be able to go into Lawrence and win. But, the team appears to have a lot of energy and fight. And, I think, as we talked about last week, the NIT is kind of who wants to be there. And Nebraska has shown, I think, the girls still want to, have a chance to win. And if they beat Kansas, I think they would have a chance to host probably like an Arkansas back at PBA, which, would be exciting to have a chance to make it to the Final Four playing a team like an Arkansas back at PBA. So, tough task, good team, but a team that, if we play well, I think we could go down there and win.
Andy, Nebraska wins the game on Thursday night. If they do what?
Yeah, they're going to have to rebound. Jackson, the 6'6 center, had 21 rebounds. Here, I think she had 19 points, 21 rebounds. They rebounded, really well from their guard spots. We had done a pretty good job rebounding all season. Missouri State, two games ago, out-rebounded us by 10. We have not been out-rebounded like that in a while. So, I think we'll be able to score. Kansas only plays about 5 or 6, so they will not press us, which concerns me a little bit without Hybe. you know, if we get a matchup where teams are going to press us, Kansas has not shown a lot of full court pressure, so I think that helps. But, you know, if we continually to shoot it, we've had good balance. I think we had three or four in the last two games in double figures. If we keep our balance and rebound, you know, it gives us a chance to win on the road.
Andy, you're upset potentially here, back to the NCAAs, my friend. What's the team you maybe like to get on through to the Final Four, or at least get to an Elite Eight that maybe no one's thinking of?
Well, I was on Arkansas and UConn. I thought those two on paper, to my eye, were talented enough to make a run. So I'm going to stay there. I still think both those teams, you know, have the talent, have the roster, have the versatility, you know, that can still win a lot of games. So I won't change from, you know, a couple I gave you last week. I still think both of those teams have a chance to play their way, you know, to Houston. And, you know, at Houston, my finals, I still think, you know, defensively, the second game, second half, I had some doubts on them early, but that second half, I thought they were really good. So I still think Houston's going to be hard to beat, too.
Think you're right on with that. Andy Markowski with us. Andy, take care, bud. Enjoy the trip to Lawrence, and we'll get back down the road here. Thanks for a few minutes.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.